I know you can't address the Crosby situation directly because you're not his doctor, but can you tell me in a general sense, a soft tissue injury in the neck? Are we talking about a muscle strain? What are we talking about here? What could we be talking about here?
Well, a soft tissue injury includes, it can include the skin, the muscle, the ligaments between the bones. There's multiple layers, especially in the neck, to protect the spinal cord. You know, the brain and the spinal cord are the constituents of the central nervous system. And that's where, you know, presumably, you know, in cases that I see in clinic, the injury occurs. And then the protective layers of tissue can be inflamed. I mean, it's not uncommon to have, what's called cervicitis, or the cervical musculature or ligaments tissue gets inflamed because it's trying to protect at all ends, the spinal cord and the brain. So that's not uncommon. And it's also not uncommon to diagnose that in parallel with a concussion or brain injury. So that's, I think, primarily you have, not to get into too big of an anatomy component of this, but there's seven segments to the cervical spine, and then there's sets of roots from the spinal cord going out at each level. So those can be injured, they can be impinged, it can be the muscle pushing on them if the muscle gets inflamed. All those things are important, but are usually diagnosed in sequence with the brain injury. And my biggest concern is to make sure that that the brain injury, which has been diagnosed, people are still aware that it is the brain and spinal cord are the ones that are most important to look at, not to say, oh, it's a bruise or a soft tissue injury, because we're talking about soft tissue injury as a result of the injury and in conjunction with a brain injury. That if somebody injures the brain twice or three times, in Sydney's case or in somebody else's cases that I see in clinic, you see them come in with a large history of these injuries, that the next one really sets off the concussion syndrome, where they're super sensitive to any kind of contact, where it puts them in the syndrome of all these different symptoms. And symptoms like, blurred vision, sensitivity to light and sound, feeling in a fog, those are rarely caused by what's called soft tissue or cervicitis.
With Dr. Paul Eklund on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So it is important to point out then that the two are not mutually exclusive, right? Because I think a lot of people would say, oh, okay, well, Sidney Crosby didn't have a concussion. He just had a soft tissue injury. That's not how it works.
No, that's not. And usually, the thing that also bothers me is these diagnoses that get out there in the public realm saying it's concussion-like or whiplash-like. And there's no such thing in medical with a specialist. I mean, it is, and you can diagnose a concussion at rink level. You can diagnose it in the office and then continue to follow it. And if they need ancillary diagnosis or the conjuncting diagnosis of soft tissue or cervicitis, then you get physiotherapy, you get massage therapy. Those are things that, it was interesting to see Sydney say, well, now I've got something to work on. And that's very common because, these are athletes that want to recover. They're used to rehabbing. And from a brain injury, that we know no specific treatment that has any validity that you can rehab. You have to rest and allow the brain to recover. It's frustrating, but that's the latest information we have.
With Dr. Paul Eklund and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I'll be careful how I ask this, but a soft tissue injury, should it have been diagnosed? Should we have known this by now? Should the Penguins in Sydney have known this by now? Walk me through the procedure that would...
Well, I mean, basically when you examine a patient with a suspected concussion, you look at everything. You look at the gross neurological survey. You do neuropsychological testing. You look at his history. Then you look at all, as a physician, as a family physician for myself or the neurosurgeon, they look at all the other aspects of medicine. They look at iron deficiency, thyroid, glucose, anemia, infection. The soft tissue is there because you examine their neck, their spine, their brain, their neurological abilities, everything, and then you come about with your working diagnosis of one or two of them, and go forward to allow that person to recover. The biggest difficulty is, it's a culture that wants the athlete to get back as fast as possible, and that's been the problem in the past, is that these players have sustained multiple concussions because they keep going back before they are allowed to completely heal, and a lot of them way past that point.
Dr. Eklund, the NFL has taken steps, or it did take steps, I believe, with about 6 weeks left in the season, after the situation with Colt McCoy, where he sustained a concussion, was allowed back in the game, allegedly because the medical staff was busy treating other players. I mean, essentially, he felt he slipped through the cracks, I guess. That's what the Browns are saying. The NFL is now mandating that at every game there is an independent doctor on site, specifically charged with the responsibility of looking at hits that may have led to a concussion. A couple of questions for you. One, isn't this something every sports league should have? And two, are we at the stage, and I'm asking you to pass judgment on this as a sports fan as well, but as someone who deals with athletes, are we at a stage where we need to just do away with the team physician concept? I know those are two loaded questions.
Yeah, no, it's not a loaded question, because you're looking at one of the biggest problems is independent surveillance of teams. And just, you know, I think that's what I found in my research, is that importance of allowing the physician, allowing the trainer to be completely independent of the team. So, you know, to allow the physician to look at the athlete as a patient, and even as a sports patient. I mean, my specialty and my fellowship is sports medicine, so my job is to get that player back on the field or the ice surface, but I see him as a patient, or him or her as a patient, and with no bias. I mean, this is your best interest. Total best interest, and there's no, I'm not casting any aspersions on any of my colleagues. I'm just saying that they should be allowed to do what they're allowed to do, and if they see something, they have unimpeded ability to make that decision. And I don't think that's what is happening at this point.
It seems to me, from talking to a couple of people over the past few days, that this kind of developed almost as, I mean, it goes back to the days when athletes actually didn't make that much money. And I mean, it was nothing, you know, you had a team dentist, hey, because the team dentist could take care of your teeth, and maybe you could slip your kids in and he'd take care of the teeth and you get a couple of tickets and all this stuff. It goes back to the days where athletes just didn't make enough money to afford their own independent medical care. But now you're almost in a situation. I mean, frankly, if I'm a guy like Sidney Crosby, if I'm making $10 million a year, and I have a, you know, I feel a soreness in my knee, I'm going to get three or four opinions before I decide what to do.
And that's the right of every citizen to in this, in North America, is to make up their own mind. And that's the, like I said, the what should be open and honest within the medical community usually is. I mean, if I have any doubts of a diagnosis in my clinic, I send them to a colleague of mine that I trust, and they get a second or a third opinion so that we get it right. And medicine is difficult as it is, because it's very complicated. So you want to make sure you get, you know, what we get paid for is to get the diagnosis right, so we can get the treatment options for the patient. And then that's their choice of how they want to proceed. You know, it's about the patient being well-informed and getting the best diagnosis.
Let me ask you this in about a minute. Do you think Sidney Crosby's closer to returning to action today as a result of what we know now?
Like I said, it's difficult for me to answer that question, because I don't know the facts of his case. It's been, as anything in pro sport, not totally declared, and it's given in parts, and only his physician, who is Chip Burke, I believe, knows the whole situation. Michael Collins, who's his neuropsychologist, also is contributing to the team along with all the other physicians and other professionals. But I think that that's a question, because he has been out for 2 years, that should have very careful study. And that there's no quick answer to that. The patients that I have seen that in my clinic that have long, extremely long periods of absence from sport and extremely long recovery from post-concussion syndrome, I have long talks with them about their future.
Dr. Eklund,
competitive sport.
I appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. It's been enlightening.
Okay, thank you very much.